T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The 12th pick in the 1992 NBA draft, the Miami Heat selects Harold Miner from the University of Southern California.
With the 5th pick in the 2003 NBA draft, the Miami Heat select Dwayne Wade from Marquette University.
Tom, we were there and watched Dwayne Wade single-handedly take Marquette for the first time in 26 years back to the Final Four when they beat Kentucky in the regional final in Minneapolis.
This guy's a flat player. I mean, you look at the top three, and I think he's right at that next level. There's really not a lot he can't do. They questioned his shooting. I think he shoots fine from mid-range. He's a physical two-guard. He can get out and defend long arms, and he's not afraid to take it to the hole. He can draw contact and finish. I love this guy. I think he could be a multiple All-Star in a couple years.
With the 2nd pick in the 2008 NBA draft, the Miami Heat select Michael Beasley from Kansas State University.
You know, throughout all this debate, will it be Beasley, will it be Mayo, Mark Jackson said, if I got the 2nd pick, I pick Michael Beasley and I take my phone off the hook.
With the 14th pick in the 2017 NBA draft, the Miami Heat select Bam Adebayo from the University of Kentucky.
A 3rd Wildcat comes off the board in the lottery portion of the draft.
With the 13th pick in the NBA draft, the Miami Heat select.
Yeah, who's it going to be tonight, man? Good morning, everybody. A lot of stuff to get to here this morning. As you just heard, we got a draft, NBA draft tonight. The Miami Heat picking 13th. And by the way, if that's not enough for you and you're a real South Florida junkie for everything, believe it or not, the NHL draft is tomorrow night. The start of that. So we'll have Dale Talon on tomorrow morning from Vancouver, and we'll talk to him. So we got all kinds of stuff going on. Of course, the theme is the number 13. It's in honor of Dan Marino, all these 13s we've got.
Lucky number 13?
That'll never happen again. I'm dead serious.
No, you're right.
It'll never happen where the Dolphins, the Heat, and the Panthers have the 13th overall pick in the draft, which, by
really
the way,
weird.
Just tells you how bad things are if we're talking about all picking 13th. Never.
It's actually worse than that. It's how mediocre we are.
Yeah. No, you're right.
It would be one thing if the Heat were picking 2, Dolphins had the 1st overall pick, and the Panthers tonight had 1. You're picking 13.
Yeah.
You're 7-9. Every team's 7-9.
They were all teasers. You're right. They're all teasers down to the last few days or last couple of weeks of whatever season it was. Anyway, we got a lot of stuff to get to. And last night, the Miami Heat made a deal with Atlanta to get a 2nd-round pick and the 44th overall pick. And you're going, 44th overall pick? That's like a 7th-round pick in the NFL. Well, what the hell are you going to get? And I said, I'll tell you what you're going to get. You're going to get somebody you can develop on the cheap because you're already over the salary cap. That's what you can do. Now, in fairness to the Heat, like San Antonio, they do like to develop and have actually done a good job of developing some guys through the years that either weren't drafted or were 2nd-round picks, like Josh Richardson recently, who
has
been a really good 2nd-round pick. Yeah. I mean, he ain't a franchise pick, but he's been a really good 2nd-round pick for the Miami
Heat. You look down the list of 2nd-round picks, over the years, and you're going to find a couple gems in there, obviously, but those guys normally don't even – they're on the end of the roster or now a G League kind of guy. But you find a guy like Josh Richardson in that second round, you hit a home run.
Yeah,
you really did.
It's a good one. And there have been guys in it. You know, we do find guys that get drafted late in the first round or mid-first round end up being great players. It has happened. And you look at what you took early on or you took ahead of them, and we've seen that a lot down here. And you're going, God, we got that guy. And look what they got like 8 picks later. That has happened a lot. That's been one of the themes of our South Florida teams, matter of fact. But anyway, we are looking at our all-first-round team. Never too early in the morning. As we jump into to everything here today, got a busy day for you. My Miami Heat first round team. You ready?
Ooh, yeah, I'm excited.
I put one together.
All right.
This is what happens when you don't have a life. You start putting it together.
I know the obvious number one, right?
All right. So, well, I'm going to put Ronnie Cicely in there.
Yeah, you have to.
Like Ronnie.
Got to.
Glenn Rice.
Got to.
Ronnie was the 9th overall pick. Glenn Rice was the 4th overall pick. I'm going to put Steve Smith in there.
Steve Tricky Smith.
I still love that little move where he fakes and goes baseline and was beautiful.
Yeah,
he was so good at it. 5th overall out of Michigan State, so we're going to put him in there. I guess I got to go Caron Butler, 10th.
Yeah. Yep, he was a really good pick.
Like him. Of course, Dwayne. Dwayne is like 4 first-round picks because of his career and what he's done so much better than everybody else. So I'm going to go Cicely, Rice, Smith, Butler, and Wade as my best 5 picks they've had in the history. Willie Burton didn't make it.
Nope.
Oh, silly Willie. And then, of course, you got 2 young guys in Bam and Winslow. We'll see how that works out for those guys as their careers go on, but couldn't do it yet. 21 first-round picks so far with this franchise. And overall, honestly, have not done that great drafting.
No, they have not.
I mean,
no.
You have Dwayne, you know, the Dwayne one kind of sticks because it was just so powerful for so long, and you only need 5 guys on a court at once, so it kind of hides it a little bit, but really, overall, they haven't. They got a flat-out whiff on Beasley, pretty much.
Oh, number 2 pick overall, Derrick Rose went 1.
Play.
Right, and then
Harold Miner,
12th overall,
gym,
yep. But Baby Jordan. How do you not draft a guy named Baby Jordan?
Yeah.
Especially if he's available sitting right there.
Fun to watch jump, though. I mean, it was.
Yeah, the guy won dunk contest a couple times, sure.
Dunk contest and stuff. So, hey, you ready for my all free agent trade team?
I'm in.
I took it to a new level last night.
This is nice.
LeBron.
Okay.
Shaq.
Okay.
Timmy Hardaway.
Yes.
Alonzo.
Yes.
And Chris Bosh.
I'll take it.
By the way, the 5 of those guys outside of Twain. The best players in your...
Yeah,
you ain't
your
drafting
franchise.
Your best players,
no,
what I'm saying.
Yeah, no.
You're not,
well, they did. They drafted their best player.
They got... No,
Dwayne.
No,
they got lucky.
Dwayne, like, but I'm saying
yeah,
outside
you know,
of that.
No. They've traded.
Dwayne
was signing trades,
with
yes.
the other guys.
Yeah.
And that's one thing Pat has done really well and has been aggressive is getting the Alonzo Mournings and Shaq.
Right, that's it.
2 Hall of Fame centers. Timmy Hardaway still had something left in the tank when he got here from Golden State. Of course, LeBron and Chris, you know how that worked out as a big 3, and a lot of that's because of Dwayne Wade. That's the other part. Because of Dwayne Wade, you're able to get a lot of those guys to go, oh, I'll play with D-Wade because, you know, D-Wade only needs 1 more guy. It's me. And we can do it with the supporting cast around it. So,
well, think about it. You drafted Caron Butler. That gave you the opportunity at that point, too, the year before Dwayne Wade. And then Dwayne kind of emerging that next season when he came through as a rookie to get Shaq. Like, Caron Butler was the key piece in that Shaq trade.
Well, how about Lamar Odom?
Did you sign Lamar?
Lamar Odom came here and had an unbelievable season, and that really helped as part of the trade bait,
too. The genius move by Pat Riley in that offseason, knowing that the Clippers were not going to pay all their guys. Elton Brand was a free agent. Lamar was going to be a free agent. You offer Elton Brand a sick amount of money, and then you offer Lamar right afterwards, knowing that they're not going to match both. You're going to get one of those guys. Pat Riley would have been happy with either guy, but he loved Lamar.
Well, listen, Lamar came down here, was all business before he went all Hollywood and got a little messed up late in his career. But, yeah, that was a great pick, too. But, listen, Pat... They've done a great job of being aggressive and bringing in. I mean, listen, that list I just gave you, and that's just basically going to be your Hall of Fame team, the LeBron, Shaq,
Timmy Hardaway, Alonzo, and Chris Bosh. I mean, that's just incredible that you can either through free agency or trade and get that group of guys. I mean, that's sick. But you go back to that draft group, and there's a big drop off
in
what you've done with your first round. Now, listen, they're not all. We're not in a situation where we're talking about a bunch of Cleveland Brown 1s, 2s, and 3s or the Lions where you're picking first, second, or third every year. And we understand that, but you'd like to have more success with your firm. And maybe, you know what? It'd be interesting to ask Pat, how do you think you've done with your first round picks? Wouldn't that be an interesting question?
Yes, Pat, because he's never been a draft guy. You've
been great. You've been great, as good as anybody, free agency and trade and using what you have and leveraging guys to either get better guys or get guys to come here. And, of course, the Dwayne factor is really set the franchise up because that's the one consistent thing with all or most of the success they've had has been through Dwayne. But, man, drafting, I'd love to know how Pat thinks they've done.
I would say he'd say drafting. Mediocre at best outside of the fact that he found the gem in Dwayne Wade, really good player in Caron, and he's going to give a little bit of credit in the last couple of years because you got Bam Adebayo and you got Justice.
No, I understand.
But otherwise,
but you
think
see
about
how
when he got
been.
Here. When he got here, 95.
They haven't done enough yet after just a couple of years.
Don't you want your team to draft late in the first round every year? And when Pat got here, they stopped drafting 10th overall and 12th overall until they got major injuries later. It was 25, no first rounder.
No,
26.
Pat was throwing first rounders away in deals
like
to get better veteran players, and obviously that's been part of the story too. It's a good point, but I just look at what they're doing tonight. They got the 13th pick. Everybody's wondering what you're going to get.
Look at the mock drafts. There's 40 different guys there. Number 13.
There's not one mock draft's got them taking the same guy.
No.
Everybody's all over the board from all your favorite schools out there. So we'll see how it plays out tonight and what ends up happening. They got the 44th pick, as we mentioned, as well. So anyway, that's up. And we did have our first deal made yesterday. No surprise. Mike Conley, who, by the way, he's been going to Utah Jazz for like a year now. It's the longest running rumor of all time finally happens. Mike Conley going to the Utah Jazz because they tried to get it done last year when Memphis was awful. And they go, no. And they felt like they were able to get more out of Utah. And we'll see how the Conley-Mitchell backcourt's going to be. Curious to see how that's all going to look.
Looks good on paper.
Looks good, man.
Yeah.
Got a big center that's a pretty damn good player. Got some good shooters around it. Yeah. I'm wondering what Utah Jazz will look like.
I forgot Kyle Korver was in Utah. When you see the throwing guys.
Actually, I only knew it because I've been back there a few times.
Forgot he was there.
Deal. Yeah,
he was in Cleveland for a while, remember?
Yeah.
I mean, what happened?
Hey, listen, the guy's 38 years old. God
still,
bless him.
Yep,
still
good for
rocking
him.
Down. If you got a kid out there and he can shoot threes, NBA threes, you got yourself something special. Get him on the right team and let him as the league's going more to the three-point shot, no question about it. So, anyway, we've got a lot of stuff coming up. We'll jump all over this draft this morning and see what's happening. We got a lot of other stuff, a lot of stuff breaking yesterday. So we found out David Ortiz, he said, man, we really did. We shot the wrong guy. We meant to shoot the guy that was sitting with David Ortiz. You're like,
what the hell is going on?
He goes,
there?
Yeah, apparently they had the same. They showed us a picture, and the guys had the same damn thing on. We end up shooting the bigger guy of the two instead of getting that damn David Fernandez, whose cousin is sitting in prison as part of a cartel and saying, I think my cousin set me up and got me here. So I want you guys to put a hit out on him, which kind of scary that that's what's going on in prison. I thought that was all in movies. Apparently,
it's not
really happening. So anyway, I think the number's now up to 11 people involved.
I'm going at least 11.
But they're going, no, we didn't mean. The guy's going, I didn't mean to shoot Ortiz. I was supposed to shoot the other bastard that was sitting with him.
Joe, this is the script for your new show. You know that.
Well,
this is Narcos DR.
I got to tell you. Meanwhile, you know, Ortiz stuff about the women, the girlfriend, and the wife fighting at the hospital and all that stuff. That's just side stuff, man. That's nothing. Had nothing to do with it. And apparently the original cartel member running around like hiding for his life right now is not the deal. So
It's a crazy story.
All crazy, and yeah. Who knows, man. And obviously, the Dominican Republic is really embarrassed by this story.
I mean, it should be.
Your most popular figure, one of your most popular figures in Dominican Republic, where they love their baseball, has got to be David Ortiz. You don't get a bigger personality who's got World Series championships. I mean, the guy's got to be right up there, and they're people from the Dominican that would know more about it than I do, but to shoot him and the video get out, it's a bad look for right now, a place that's going through some really bad times, man, from hotels to swimming pools to cars to we got Americans dropping like flies over there.
Yeah, be careful.
Yeah. Somebody invites you on a little vacation right now. You
can't
may want,
make it. You yeah, might, can't
what
make
about
it.
The guys that want to go over there and play Winter League Baseball? You know what? I'm going to go ahead and go to Mexico and play.
Yeah.
We got to go to break here, man. We got a lot more stuff to get to this morning, including the David Ortiz stuff. But parents, did you happen to catch what happened in Colorado with the parents of a 7-year-old baseball league? Could not make this up. We'll have that story for you when we come back. Stay with us.
Radio.com.
All right, so I just did a little CBS TV. They absolutely set me up.
Of course they did.
They did the nice girl thing, and I'm the bad old white guy here sitting here. So Coach Martin last night in the World Series, Florida State head coach, Florida State baseball. He's in a World Series. I think it's his 17th time.
It's pretty crazy.
He's never won. They got knocked out again last night. He's been knocked out 17 times, has never won a championship, but he's won like...
Martin is 75. He's heading into retirement with 2,029 career wins, most by any coach in any college sport.
Yeah.
But no national championships. How about each of his 40 teams he's coached won at least 40 games, played in the NCAA tournament, never won a national title.
Okay. So
is that guy a
loser?
So
they go, wow,
what a
career. And I go, yeah, it's been a great career, but you go to the World Series 17 times, and he's had some great teams.
Yeah.
He's got a ton. He's had some great baseball players, brothers that were great baseball players, go to the big leagues, and including Buster Posey, including, you know, they never won. Not one World Series.
No, none.
So while you're talking about all the wins, you got to mention 17 times the World Series, but never won one. That's all. Doesn't take away from what he's done. By the way, he's got the last laugh. How much you figure he's made in his career?
Oh, man.
He's done all right. So
40 teams with at least 40 wins.
But he's never.
Jeez.
You go to the World Series, usually by odds. You figure if I go 17 times,
you win one.
My team's going to be hot in one of these son of a guns, and I'm going to win it.
One for 17
but I'm
sounds
not
a lot better than 0 for 17.
I'm not taking anything away from him. He just...
Guy's a loser. It's not a big deal. Can't win the World Series.
Wait, I mean, we got UM down here, and we got two different coaches.
UM's got a bunch, right?
Yeah, that have won championships. And so anyway, I wasn't taking a shot, but they set me up, and then they give me that, how can you say that? I go, because everybody talks the long time, whether it's an individual career or team sport, coach, manager, or player. Everybody goes, man, that guy is really good. Won a ton of games. Listen, Dan Marino's got to hear it all the time.
Yeah, of course. Right.
The other night he was asked again. He goes, my biggest regret. He said in front of 1,000 people at an event we did, last week or the week before, and people get up and ask questions. He goes, my biggest regret, I didn't win a championship. And I thought the way it started, we were going to go like
five, six
year.
Super Bowls, I know.
And, I never got back.
Nope.
So
what's one of the best shticks on that NBA show? With Shaq
Charles,
and
Charles
when
Barkley.
They bust Barkley for
they
being.
They tell Charles to shut up when they start talking about rings
because
Kenny and Shaq have them. And so Coach Martin, you know. By the way, you better be thick-skinned about it, because first of all, you only talk about great players. Nobody's talking about mediocre players not winning championships.
Come on. We're talking about Hall of Famers.
You're talking about, you know, this guy's going to go down as one of the great managers slash head coaches, because that's what you call him in baseball. And, by the way, never been able to figure out why you're a manager when you're a manager in professional baseball.
Yeah.
You're the head coach in college baseball. Why can't it just be the manager all the way through?
It's kind of weird.
Because you call a manager.
A coach?
I called Rene Latchman one time. Hey, coach, good morning. He goes, call me Skipper. Call me Latch. Do not call me a coach.
I made the mistake in the back when we called Jack McKeon one morning to come on the show.
I think,
hey, coach, good morning. I'm not a coach.
Guys, yeah, don't call me coach. I got coaches. Yeah. You know, work my ass off.
Sure.
Skipper.
Skipper.
He gave me all the names. Call me Skipper.
Yeah.
Call me the manager. Call me by my nickname, but don't, they, like, those guys hate coach.
I know. It's so weird.
It's
so weird.
Anyway. We
made the mistake plenty.
But I just love those girls. They're so sweet and innocent. They were all sweet and innocent. And what a career. Well, he just got knocked out of his 17th World Series. And I'm like, so what do you want me to say? Well, and they knew where I was going. They're going, oh, Joe, he's not the only I know he's not the only one. It's been a lot of guys. But I don't know if too many guys have been to College World Series 17 times. Come Most on. Guys don't manage or coach that long.
Joe, when we saw the topic in the email, I literally said they're setting you up to call him a loser.
You did say that.
Yes.
You said you're getting
40 wins in 40 straight seasons.
How many wins again?
25,000? Yeah, 2,029 career wins. Most by any coach in any college sport. No one has done it better than him in college, except for the fact that this dude can't win the College World Series once. I know he doesn't pitch. I know he doesn't throw.
No,
he doesn't hit.
No, but he's the head coach of Florida State, which, by the way, through the years, give him credit, always has a good team.
Okay.
Always has a good team.
You want to be known as the guy who's got 2,029 wins and not one College World Series?
Well, it's going to be on your resume. There's nothing. I mean, you're going to put those wins first.
Fine, of course.
You're going to put the fact that you're able to coach a long time.
Yes.
But if you don't have at least one, he can't put anything on his finger.
I mean, we can rip,
you can't put wins on your finger.
No. You can rip Danny. Like you can rip Barkley. You can rip any of those guys. But Danny didn't go to 40. Danny didn't go to 17 Super Bowls and win one.
What did I,
like?
Now I blanked out. Marino went to one.
Yeah.
Wow.
So he's 0-1. So I'm like, that happens. Yeah, Barkley, remember when he went to the finals? He went with Phoenix.
He had to play against Michael.
Yeah, I mean, he just ran into the Michael train.
He had to play in one of Michael Jordan's six right in the middle of that. Yeah, so anyway. By the way,
Kenny won his two while Mike was out for those 2 years.
That's right.
Not that I'm throwing that out there.
But I just, for Florida State fans going, you know, it's Bush League. I'm not taking a shot. He won a ton of games. Very successful guy, and the dominance that he's had in his conference and regionals and super regionals.
Joe, 0-17.
But 0-17 in the World Series is 0-17.
FSU's version of Marv Levy, someone just texted in.
Yeah. Boy, that one. How about I did something with Jim Kelly, and he got up, and I said, it must be me. So in the last couple weeks, I did an event with Jim Kelly one night, and he talked about losing four in a row and watching that one kick dismissed. One of the best field goal kickers in football. He misses against the Giants. They set him up for one and just barely misses. So he goes, and they went four straight times. That's one of the most impressive things. Go to a Super Bowl four straight years.
Right, yep.
He never wins one.
Oof.
I did something with Danny, and he stood up and he said, "It's my biggest." I said, "Man, I'm on a roll." I was like, "There, I don't know what's left to get up here and, I don't even like to ask. I let other people ask the question because it sounds better. Because those guys going, dude, really, you're gonna ask me that again? Like, you've been part of it. You want to ask me how I feel? How many beers have we had about this?" And I was like, "Yeah, but you know, someone's gonna ask." And he goes, "Yeah, no, that's a big regret. You know, you play a long time, you don't get one." But
Mike Martin's gonna go around the talking circuit.
Martin's not gonna be able to go
around.
And
that's gonna be his biggest regret. Yes.
And he's gonna say, "I got there 17 times. It's amazing.
Yep.
You get to it. It's not like there's 50 teams going."
No. But if he's 1-17.
All the winners of those super regionals, only ones invited, and he didn't get it. I mean, you got to mention it.
Yep.
So just, anyway, the girl, but I got so set up.
No, it was a full setup.
It was kind of like they knew what my answer, you know, they asked me certain things about certain people and they know what's coming.
Joe, they're waiting for you to call them a loser.
Oh, Joe, that's way too harsh. I go, well, what do you think he's going to be remembered for besides he won 25,000 games. It's going to be the fact that almost half his career he got to the World Series. That's great. Man, you want to get to the World Series. That means you got a really good – you win Super Regionals, and they had to go on the road this year to do it. And they got hot, but they came up short.
17 times.
17 times. Man, that's amazing. That's amazing.
Half a lot of times.
Damn near half your career, half of your 40 years, almost half, you got to the World Series. And you look at UN, they didn't even get to playoffs a couple years in there.
That's right.
Anyway.
Changes the dynamic totally if he's 1 for 17.
It's not a shot, but
no,
listen.
But
and today especially, and I've noticed this over about the last 8 to 10 years, Zach, that people, we talk about how great guys are at what they do, whatever the sport, and then somebody always brings up, right? They did it in golf the other day. I'm watching the golf tournament. I'm watching the U.S. Open. And they bring up, he's the best golfer to never win a championship. Azinger goes, yeah, he's the best golfer to never win win a major.
You don't want to be in that
category.
And
I'm like, what even made you bring that up? So we got lists now for every sport.
Of course.
Of guys that were great at what they did.
Best that never won. Best that never won the big game.
Like, hey, Hall of Fame, go get your Hall of Fame jacket. Go get your college Hall of Fame. Go get yours, but... You didn't win. Didn't win it.
It's a bad category to be in, but
hey, look,
it's going to happen.
They can give me a hard time. We're going to have more coming. It's never going to stop.
Yep.
And it doesn't take away from what you've done.
No.
But yeah, he's got to go back, and he's going to hear about when he walks away. And they're talking about, man, what a guy was unbelievable coach, man, at college. And look how long he stayed around. It's been amazing. And then as he leaves, somebody's going to go, just had a beer or two, go, 17 times a World Series, you never won one. Always going to pop up, man. Nothing you can do about
especially
it.
Especially when you bring up your best players you had, too. We had a team that year with this guy, and we had this guy, and this guy, and this guy, and we had great pitching this year, and we won 42 games that year, and then we won 44
But every
the
time
next.
You go to a Hall of Fame and you talk, no matter what your position, they're
rings.
Also going to look to
rings.
See. So when you get a stuffed stat sheet like a Brady, like a Jerry Rice, like a Joe Montana, where, you know, or Bradshaw, Michael Jordan, Bill Russell.
Yeah.
Those guys got a lot of rings for a lot. They don't have enough, right? I mean, they are, their stuff
Bill
in the
Russell
stat sheet.
Bill Russell has enough. Bill Russell
yeah, Bill Russell's
enough.
Got.
He doesn't, he doesn't have room on his hands.
Yeah,
anymore.
No, Bill Russell's.
He's
like,
got one on his toe now.
Says, you careful how you talk to me when we're all together.
How about
please.
That picture of him holding all the rings in his hands? Like that iconic.
How many was it? 11?
Yeah, 11, yeah. As a player and a player coach, because 1 year he's a player coach. Yeah.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable stuff. Anyway, we got to go to break here. Yeah, so they set me up on TV. And they do the sweet, innocent,
of course,
down-to-earth, pretty girl on TV thing and set me up. There he goes. The old miserable white guy is going to put a downer on a great career. Say just he lost again in a World Series.
They wanted you to
and
call him a
loser.
And then
they bring it up. They go, oh, my gosh, Joe, it's happened to other people, too. And then, you know, kind of insinuating back at me and
Joe,
some
how many
guys.
Second-place rings do you have?
I got two.
Yeah. Wonder why they didn't say that.
I don't even know where they are. They've been so popular, I'm not sure where they are right now. I haven't
you
seen
them.
Haven't seen them in years.
You should let Hollywood wear one.
They kind of disappeared. Now, he doesn't want that because he'd be the first go, hey, loser. He'd be the first one on the you're a 100%. Loser thing. We got to go to break here. Man, we got all kinds of stuff going on. I got totally sidetracked from that story I was telling you about with the kids. The video yesterday, I couldn't stop watching going, how many idiot parents can there be on one field? And this is a record, folks. This is a record. We'll have that story when we come back. Stay with us.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Junior Mafia.
Listen to live coverage of the NHL draft on the home of the Florida Panthers, AM 560 and 96.5 HD2 WQAM. It's this Friday beginning at 8 p.m. and Saturday beginning at 1 p.m. Sponsored by Checkers, Old Munchin German Restaurant, Bratz, Wiener Schnitzel, potato pancakes, pretzels with mustard, and much, much more. All Checkers, Old Munchin German Restaurant in Pompano Beach. It all starts the NFL draft.
No,
Friday beginning at 8 p.m. and Saturday at 1 p.m. here on QAM.
All right, we got all kinds of stuff. We got the NBA draft tonight, of course, and the Miami Heat will pick 13th, see what they do. Should be a wild day, by the way, with trades of picks and veteran players thrown in and everything else. So should be a fun night, see what happens in the NBA. And, of course, the Miami Heat also pick up a second-round pick from Atlanta, 44th overall in the two rounds that the NBA has. All right, this other story. In Lakewood, Colorado, just outside of Denver, for people that aren't familiar with the area, 7-year-old baseball game. So think about this for people that go back to the Little League and farm. I remember being in Farm League and then Little League when you're 8, 9, and 10, 11, 12, you could play in Little League. 10-year-old, if you were good enough, 11 and 12s with Little League. We're talking about 7-year-old baseball. We're talking almost off the tee or right just your first year off or whatever. You have a 13-year-old umpire, which I remember those days where we had young kids, got paid a few bucks to come out and be the umpire. Been going on forever. So apparently the parents were getting mad at the 13-year-old umpire for his calls. Anyway, it gets bad. Next thing you know, if you haven't seen the video, there's got to be, I tried to count off the video last night, it's got to be 20 to 30, mostly men, but some women threw some punches there. Well, going at it, and you see the kids taking off running. These kids could care less. Most of those kids care more about their snacks than playing baseball, grabbing theirself and looking around, and they don't care. Hey, Jimmy, pay attention out in right field. The right field kid never pays it. A 7-year-old right fielder, hey, come back in here. Stop picking the grass. Yeah. Anyway, these parents were throwing. Then there were sucker punches thrown. One guy gets knocked cold. One of the most embarrassing. We had a bunch of these. We've had our share in football down here.
We've always had crazy parents.
But they're everywhere. Listen, I don't want you to think South Florida's the only one that's had parents that have done it. I always had two things. I always said, well, because there were nights where nobody showed up for my kids' Little League games, and they would ask me, you mind umpiring? I said, I don't care. I'm going to umpire, but make sure it's all right with the other team. Yeah, it's fine. Because you got to make sure both, you know. Oh, he might be for his own kid. So you do it that way. And so I umpired, I don't know, 5-6 games. I felt like my son's last year in the Little League baseball. Just to be involved and over there, so nobody got mad. I was just a coach, wasn't the manager of the Little League team. And in between jobs back then, you know, where you're going, TV, and then run back and do TV later, whatever it was. And so, you know, you have some parents that yell and scream and stuff.
Did you get into it as an umpire, though? Were you, like, enthusiastic, or what was your style of umpiring?
Yeah, you know, I did a little extra, as you can imagine.
Put some mustard on it? Yeah, you have to.
I did call it so everybody could hear it. I did. I had a little hot dog.
That was my favorite part.
Extra little mustard on it when I was back there. I also, when I'd hear one of the coaches on one of the teams, on the visiting teams, tell the guy, don't swing. Like, you tell some of the kids that aren't very good not to swing so they can walk and just get on base. And I used to, my strike zone got real big. Soon as I heard coaches do that, used to drive me nuts. Like, he's got to swing the bat so he can have some success and get better and play. And listen, if they're like crazy pitches and way out of the strike zone,
that's different.
I'm not going to come on, Joe, that was 15 feet. It one hopped and hit somebody in the head. You called it a strike. But anyway, these parents, I would not allow these parents. That'd be it.
Oh, banned for life.
First of all, you can't throw punches at each other, so people should be arrested off these videos. And by the way, a couple women threw punches, too, in there.
Oh, yeah, don't leave
and
them
And they
out.
Were screaming and yelling for their man, and I understand. I don't know if I've ever seen so many parents. And by the way, it seemed like there weren't any parents trying to break it up.
They're just fighting.
They're all like, oh, let me jump in and throw a sucker punch. I never liked that guy either on the other team. So this all started over a 13-year-old that was umpiring the game. A 13-year-old. Glad to be out there for $20 a game.
$20, $30, $40, nice.
Whatever it is for the game.
I used to get 12.
I just like, come on, man. And then you get so mad, your little 7-year-old struck out or he was upset about something that happened and you decide to come out and the next thing you know,
you've
got most of the fathers on both teams
throwing punches
at each other. Punches. And then, yeah, and of course the gutless parents that throw sucker punches when another big guy's not looking.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, you had it. I thought, and we've seen them again in hockey. Seen a football, obviously. We've seen it in our youth football down here. One of the most embarrassing things, they had to get a list of every one of those. Those kids should still be allowed to play. It's their parents. It's not them.
Yeah, I wouldn't fault the kids for that. Their parents are
idiots. You don't see any kids around. You see kids taking off running like, oh, my God, my dad's lost it.
Yep.
And my mother's an idiot, too.
And she's egging them on. Punch that guy. Hit that guy.
Those parents should not be allowed. They should be, seriously. The league needs to go back and look because you see the pictures of every – and there's other fights going on where they chased over between third base and shortstop. There's another brawl with the ones that ran away from it. They're going at it.
They're still going. Lakewood police put a tweet out with the video. It said, these adults took over the field and began assaulting each other on June 15th during a youth baseball game. We're looking for any info in particular to ID the man with the white shirt and teal shorts. That's the guy who threw the vicious sucker
punch.
Yeah,
but all of them. Like, if
but several people
punches,
have already been cited in this fight and injuries report. We're looking to arrest. Like, they're looking for these guys now.
Can I just ask you this for anybody out there? And maybe you're one of these parents that's over the top a little bit, which is fine. Hell, I have former teammates yelling and screaming on the sideline. I've been there. I've seen it. Like, what makes you so upset with your 7-year-old? You're just glad to get him out there, trying to get him focused, get him to love the sport that you probably love. What would make you so mad that you go out on the field? You got to work. This is not a football field where you can just run out.
Right.
You got to go through fences and stuff to go out and start brawling. And not just a couple of guys that didn't like each other. Looked like a gang fight.
That's right. It looked bad.
Like the Little League Red Sox against the Little League Yankees.
I don't mean to laugh.
And I just wonder, like, the next day when everybody cools off, does anybody, like any of those parents, both men and women, and do any of the wives go, God, you were an idiot last night? Was one of the, like, how do you go to work? How are you not embarrassed that you acted like that?
Yep. And this video. Guys
are and your kid.
Yep.
Like, hey, Dad, I think I'm done. I know I struck out and the pitch was a little questionable, but I'm done. I didn't know you were going to act like that, but boy.
How about the fact people are texting in now the Little League fight was about a kid batting out of order? That 13-year-old ump, I guess, didn't catch it. And one of the parents came out and said that dude, that he's not up right now.
7-year-old.
Yeah. Out of order.
Whatever you
batting
say.
Batting out of order.
Whatever it is. You batting out of order.
Jeez.
Whatever it is. I just look at the parent that's like, well, you can't do that. And it's wrong. 7-year-old. Your games, you won't remember.
No.
You won't remember when that kid's playing Little League baseball. You won't when he's playing Travel League. You'll remember it now because you get the Ass Clown Award. And by the way, there were plenty to go. I don't know if I've seen that many parents take stupid pills.
Wow. It's a lot of parents in this.
And
this is not one or two guys.
And then you got parents coming in late.
Yeah.
I don't know if they felt like they had to jump in and throw a punch so they could be part of the families of the teams.
It looks like a street fight at the end of the video. At the end of the video when it goes to the – there's literally 30 people on that field and no kids. I don't see any kids. 13, they're all gone.
7-year-olds and a 13-year-old umpire. 13-year-old umpire out there to make a few bucks during the summer.
Yeah. Told you, I made $12 a game.
$9
a game.
I don't know what they pay now, and a lot of times, hell, our kids didn't the guys were supposed to – young guys didn't show up. And so, you know, you go out there and do it. But even with 10, 11, 12-year-olds, we had women screaming and didn't know the rules. And saw a kid rounding third and coming home, and the ball hit him as he was coming in the back, which is, he's out. I go, this is not ball tag. This is not ball tag. Lady screaming at him, he's out, the ball hit him. I go, what are you talking about? I go, this is not ball tag, ma'am. And you know, I couldn't leave it alone. I go, ma'am, this is not ball tag. I said, ask your husband and see if he knows. Of course, and I had to go into the Joe Rose Act. Ask your husband the rule.
Oh, yeah. That'll piss someone off. Like, that would piss someone off.
Because they thought the rule was like ball tag. You hit you and you're out. Yeah. I go, no. The guy's rounding. It was a bad throw. The guy's coming in, hits him in the back. Go get the ball, pick it up so the guy can't run to second. Cut him off. So anyway.
Yeah, but we've talked about crazy parents in sports before.
That one's hard to beat, though. That
this
video,
one takes the cake.
I looked at that three or four times, trying to get a count on how many idiots there were for how many there were. But how do you feel like after that? Like, at some point, if you have anything in your heart, don't you go, man, what the hell was I doing?
What happened there? What about the dude that threw the sucker punch? Now the police are looking for.
I blew up over a guy batting out of order. Like, I just lost it. I must have had a really bad day at work or why? And somebody goes, oh, your kid, what's he playing? He's playing like 15-year-old travel baseball, big tournament. He goes, no, it's a 7-year-old. We're just glad to have little Johnny out there.
Oh, that sucker punch.
Johnny, you're up now. 7-year-old's like, you got to tell them when they're up.
Yeah, give me a break. Like, you're going to get that fired up? Wait till these kids, some of them are in travel baseball, 12 and 13. But could happen then.
By the way, and the best part is there's a lady that's got the video, and she's going, oh, Lord, help us. Oh, Jesus, help us. She was trying to go through church going, oh, Lord, oh, gosh. Oh, he threw a punch. Oh, Jesus, stop.
The video's not funny.
Lord, help.
The commentary is decently funny. Yeah,
she was all
it's
over
decently
the video.
Funny, the commentary.
I did chuckle. I mean, you got to chuckle when people act like that big idiots.
Yeah.
Starting with those kids taking off running for their lives like,
what is going on here? Yep.
They wouldn't even know what batting order, hitting out of order is. You know, not one 7-year-old had any idea.
Anyway, batting order.
We got to go to break. We got 7 o'clock hour coming up. We got a lot more stuff to get to here this morning. Apparently, they weren't trying to shoot David Ortiz. They're trying to shoot the guy with him. That's the story. We got a lot more. And by the way, O.J. Simpson, we're going to have some real fun stuff coming up with O.J., who's he's gotten where he really likes this Twitter account of his. It's been real fun.
It's hilarious.
Some of the responses have been amazingly hilarious. We'll get into all that stuff. Stay with us. 7 o'clock hour coming up.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.